little review and a recommendation. The recommendation is to read Romans 8 every week over the next few weeks. Last week was verses 1 through 11. We talked about the gospel changing who and what rules over us. We talked about the gospel changing our daily lifestyles. We can now actually obey and please God in a growing fashion where we couldn't do that at all before. And the gospel even begins to change our desires. We now want to obey and please God in a growing fashion. Not all at once, perfectly, of course, but in a growing line going up with some falters in there as well. And the gospel brings about a change, a wholesale change from death to life. We now await the resurrection when the Spirit of God will give life to our mortal bodies. No more pain, no more sickness, no more bad back. And as we looked at the gospel dealing both with the penalty of sin, as in there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a great place to say amen. And then it deals with the power of sin. For the law of the Spirit of life in Romans 8:2 has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. With the gospel and its power to change things in mind, let's read Romans 8:12 through 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Romans 8:12, which we're going to go through section by section. So Romans 8:12. So then, that's in response to Romans 8:1 through 11. So then, brothers, that includes all of us, ladies as well, we are debtors. We owe something to somebody. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. That is not what we are responsible or indebted to anymore. And what Paul does in this section, he lays out and continues to lay out a clear contrast between living according to the flesh, that'll be this side, and living according to the Spirit, that'll be this side over here. See if I can remember that. By addressing the Roman believers as brothers, he doesn't place himself up above them. He is one of them. He battles the same things that they battle with. He speaks from experience. He faces the same challenges and temptations, the same prescriptions he is giving them through his ministry as an apostle apply to himself as well. So it's the same with me as the pastor. I haven't arrived where you haven't. You know that, right? We're all sinners. We all have daily struggles against the law of sin and death and the flesh. And we're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. They are now debtors to the Spirit to live according to the Spirit. See, being a debtor means that you owe something to someone. And the best example of that is having a mortgage payment or a car payment. You owe the bank money every month. I've already used that illustration previously in Romans. You owe that money every month. Sometimes you have the automatic payment out of your bank account, or maybe some of you still like to write out that check every month just to make sure it's done and you see it done. They've loaned you what was needed in order to live a certain lifestyle. But here it's a little bit different, although it uses the same terminology. See, salvation is the free gift of God. And it comes to us because Jesus died for our sins. He paid the price completely for our sins. And then rose to life on the third day. And faith is simply believing God that He has done this for us. And now we live our lives as debtors to God and His grace. We are debtors to the Spirit to now live our lives according to the Spirit because what Christ has done on our behalf. Lives of worship, lives of grace, lives of extending mercy because we've received mercy. Lives of discipleship, lives that embrace a new obedience. All now graciously empowered by the Holy Spirit. We certainly need the Holy Spirit. We're not only the temple or the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. We need to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew this. He told His disciples in John 14, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Romans 8:13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Boy, this is where we live, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, struggling to put to death the deeds of the body. If anything should get our attention, this certainly should. See, living according to the flesh brings death. Living according to the Spirit brings life. And Paul describes life according to the Spirit in a most interesting way. But if by the Spirit, that's living life, the Christian life, it comes also with putting to death the deeds of the body. He says, you'll live. So, see, being a Christian is not just confessing the Lord and then going about living the way you always lived. That's not what it means. It means now there's a new obligation or a new debt to live differently. Oh, we struggle so much with this. All of us do. We now have an obligation to the Spirit to live holy lives according to the Spirit. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, these deeds of the body, these deeds of the flesh, these carnal desires, they have to be put to death. How do you do that? They have such power over me. I give in over and over and over, and some days it feels like I'm not even a Christian. Well, let's first start with defining, well, what are the deeds of the body? God is gracious in that He gives us lists right in the Bible. It tells us what they are. The most famous one is in Galatians 5. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. I mean, now you can just look around. Turn on the TV. Turn on the radio. Watch the Olympic opening ceremony. You can see it. It's everywhere. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So the list goes on. It's not just those. And then Jesus goes in Matthew 15, he says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immoralities, theft, false witnesses, slander. These are what defile a person. Not failing to wash your hands before you had a meal. So being a debtor to God, living according to the Spirit, means to put these kinds of things that people, us, do, we have to put those things to death. We have to kill them. Not people, but these things that we do, that we are so prone to do in varying degrees. We have to put them to death. We have to, and that means learn how to stop doing them by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And this is something we do by the work of the Spirit. We don't do it because I made up my mind I'm not going to do that today. How many times have you tried to stop sinning just by making a New Year's resolution? How's that working for you? Let's see, I'm on year 47 of that New Year's resolution. John Stott, the Anglican theologian, said, we are in debt to the indwelling Spirit to live out our God-given life and to put to death everything which threatens it or is incompatible with it. For only He can give us the desire, determination, and discipline to reject evil. We have to pull it out, look at it, denounce it, hate it for what it is. Then you have really dealt with it. Or as Jesus graphically expressed it, we must gouge out our offending eye and cut off our offending hand or foot. John Owen said, be killing sin or it will be killing you. Now, he makes that sound like it's all in our boat, right? But in another place, he says this. Only He can do it. Putting sin to death in your own strength, according to your own ideas, leads to self-righteousness. This is the essence of false religion. And we'll look at that. We'll finish the message with some ways to do that. Romans 8:14. And this is on pillows, on posters on the wall. But think of the context of this next verse. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. It's a beautiful verse. Have you ever thought about that verse in the context of putting sin to death? Because that's what it means. Let me paraphrase and expand this verse in its context. For every Christian who takes sin seriously and desires to have it die and not affect them, and who want to live eternally, are led by the Spirit of God to put sin to death in their lives, they're the ones who are the children of God. You ever thought about that verse like that? It's not the way we've been taught, is it? We've been taught that you put that on the pillow, on the throw pillow, or on the little thing that you hang on the wall. It's such a magnificent truth that God will lead His people by the Holy Spirit. But exactly what the Holy Spirit is leading us to in Romans 8 is much more than general guidance concerning our decision making. It's much more pointed and focused than that. For all who are led by the Holy Spirit to put to death the misdeeds of the body, those actions, those temptations of the sinful nature that confront us every day, those are the ones who are really my children. I'm so glad that Jesus prayed to the Father that He would send us another helper. Because after reading it like that, I need help. And I know many of you out here pretty well. You need help too. And He's ready to give it. All we have to do is ask. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 8. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Theologian William Hendrickson said this: when the Holy Spirit leads God's child, the latter's responsibility and activity are not canceled or repressed. The blind man of Jericho was not carried to Jesus. He did his own walking. It is exactly as B.B. Warfield has pointed out. Though it is indeed the Holy Spirit who keeps us in the path and brings us at last to the goal, it is we who tread every step of the way, our limbs that grow weary with the labor, our hearts that faint, our faith that revives our sinking strength, our hope that instills new courage into our souls as we toil over the steep ascent. It's a hard word, but I think he's just being honest and relaying what his experience is as he's been fighting sin for decades. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. See, the great news of the gospel is that God gives us exactly what we need in order to accomplish what He desires. Let me say that again. You need to know this. God gives us exactly what we need in order to accomplish exactly what He requires. That's what makes the gospel good news. He gives the Holy Spirit to all who believe in His Son. And the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of slavery producing fear where we're cringing back from God because of judgment. Remember Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." That's a good one to pray right there. Dear Lord, did you give me that one? Is that the one I have? That's the one I want. That's the one I need. Yes, you did. Please give it. The Holy Spirit doesn't berate us. He doesn't oppress us. He doesn't demean us as if we are fearful slaves. The Holy Spirit cultivates in us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we wonder what those are? God gives us a list. See, He gives us exactly what we need in order to produce exactly what He requires. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. I've done that. Bible says so. That's good to know, isn't it? Lord, I'm struggling with crucifying the flesh with His sinful desires. Oh, well, you've already done that. I have? Oh, that's good to know. I've crucified the flesh with all of His sinful desires. I now reckon myself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's good to know the gospel promises. We who were far away and without hope in this world have now been brought into His family. God is now our spiritual Father. We are now His spiritual sons. As one writer noted, we can now cry out to Him in the most intimate fashion. We can say, "Abba, Father." Douglas Moo said, "We believers have the privilege of using the name for God that was distinctly Jesus' own." It's the way Jesus called out to God. He used the word Abba when He called out in prayer for His Father. And then our last two verses. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Has the Spirit of God borne witness with your spirit that you're His? Sometimes it's just a little. Sometimes there's days where it certainly doesn't feel like it. But when you read the Bible or when you sing some songs like we sang today, does the Spirit of God bear witness that you're His? When you hear gospel promises, when you hear the good news, when you hear the stories about the hardships or the challenges of the guy that was building extra barns to hoard up all of his wealth, and you hear that and you feel the tension, does the Holy Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? That's when He does that. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. I don't think it's the main point of this verse 17. But resisting temptation and crucifying the flesh is suffering. To do so is to suffer. You have to give up pleasures. You have to give up things that make you feel good. It's hard. We have God's Spirit confirming along with our human spirit that we are indeed children of God. And if children, then heirs. And not just heirs of eternal life, a mansion in heaven or a new body without pain, sickness, or death. That would be enough, wouldn't it? But we are heirs of God Himself and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Our greatest blessing will be God Himself. I love Psalm 27:4. King David said, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord." Just imagine David just sitting there hour after hour, just gazing upon the beauty of God. Just sitting there going, wow. Just all day long. Just gazing upon His beauty. And inquiring in His temple. Growing in holiness. Putting to death the deeds of the body. If we do this following the Holy Spirit's guidance, there is indeed suffering involved. Let's finish up by talking about what are some, I was going to say simple steps. These aren't simple steps. But what's some application for putting to death the deeds of the body? Look to the cross. Look to the place where sin was defeated. This is where the work of Christ was finished. Jesus was on the cross and He says, "It is finished." So look to the cross. Not to yourself first. Don't look there first. Look to the cross. And then look in the mirror. And view yourself in light of the cross, in light of God's holy law. Be honest about where you've broken it. God already knows. He knows every detail about what you've done. He knows every jot and tittle of where you've broken His law. Everyone, every time. And view yourself in light of that. And then recognize that Jesus Christ and His indwelling Spirit is your only hope. And then look to the grace and mercy of God. That's where we start to see sin be put to death. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. I want to close with a quote by J.I. Packer. It's a long one. I tried to cut it down, but I couldn't. To the question, what must I do to be saved? The old gospel replies, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To the further question, what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Its reply is, it means knowing oneself to be a sinner and Christ to have died for sinners, abandoning all self-righteousness and self-confidence and casting oneself wholly upon Him for pardon and peace, and exchanging one's natural enmity and rebellion against God for a spirit of grateful submission to the will of Christ through the renewing of one's heart by the Holy Ghost. And to the further question still, how am I to go about believing on Christ and repenting if I have no natural ability to do these things? It answers, look to Christ, speak to Christ, cry to Christ just as you are. Confess your sin, your impenitence, your unbelief, and cast yourself on His mercy. Ask Him to give you a new heart, working in you true repentance and firm faith. Ask Him to take away your evil heart of unbelief and to write His law within you, that you may never stray from Him. Turn to Him and trust Him as best you can. Pray for grace to turn and trust more thoroughly. Use the means of grace expectantly, looking to Christ to draw near to you as you seek to draw near to Him. Watch, pray, and read and hear God's Word. Worship and commune with God's people. And so continue till you know in yourself beyond doubt that you are indeed a changed being, a penitent believer, and the new heart which you desired has been put within you. The emphasis in this advice is on the need to call upon Christ directly as the very first step. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us indeed work in us, all of us, the pastor, the elders, the deacons, the ministry leaders, every member, every guest here today and the sound of my voice, work in every single one of us by the power of your Holy Spirit to put to death the deeds of the flesh, so that we may live by the life of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending us another helper. In Christ's name, amen.